Along the way, you and I may be surprised, even startled, to discover and learn that Jesus does not always look at life the same way we look at life. A good example of what we are going to be talking about is the story in today's gospel, the parable of the rich fool. The story is about a man, indeed an honest, hard-working, industrious, self-made man who climbed his way up the ladder of success and wealth and made it. He's a man who any one of us might call a big shot. And yet Jesus called him a fool. Jesus looks at life and sees it differently than we sometimes see it. And because this is so, and because Jesus is our Lord and Savior, our friend and our teacher, we need to look into this matter and think seriously about what Jesus is teaching us here, so that the day does not come when we are the fool. The playwright Arthur Miller once said that for any play, any drama, to be significant, to have done its job, there should be something in the play that causes people in the audience to point to a certain character and say, "Oh my God, that's me." Do we see ourselves somewhere in the parable of the rich fool? And do we discover and learn that Jesus looks at life differently than we sometimes do? So let's take a look. We're led into the parable with a rather bizarre exchange that takes place between Jesus and someone who wants him to settle a dispute over an inheritance. Inheritance laws back in that long ago time were rather cut and dried as to who got what and how much, but this man thinks that he's still not getting his fair share. Notice that he doesn't really want Jesus to judge or arbitrate the matter. He just wants him to vote in his favor. But with an insight that is uniquely his, Jesus recognizes the greed that is coming into play here, and he sees this as a wonderful opportunity for a teaching moment. And here comes the parable of the rich fool. The parable is straightforward enough. A hard-working farmer has a bumper crop. Favor is on his side, and his crops have yielded so much in a good season. With greedy haste, he tears down his barns. I never could figure out why he would tear down what he already had, but he tears down his barns and builds bigger barns to store it all away. And feeling proud, oh, so proud and dreaming big, he says to himself, "So you have ample goods stored up for many years. Now you can relax and eat and drink and be merry. The clink in the story comes when Jesus puts words into the mouth of Almighty God and has him say, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you." Now, the story isn't so much about this man and his wealth and his success. Good for him. It's about a man whose life was all mixed up, who had it figured all wrong, who was so intent on living the good life that he was missing out on the more blessed life. He saw his life, his sense of personal security and his sense of personal self-worth as consisting of what was stored away in his barns and his bigger barns, and he was content with it. But Jesus warned, one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Jesus looks at life and sees it differently than we sometimes see it. I have long appreciated the writings of Rabbi Harold Kushner. He's the one who gave us that little book some years ago called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And among his other books is one that is called When All You've Ever Wanted Isn't Enough. The title says a lot all by itself. When all you've ever wanted isn't enough. The book is shaped around the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, from which today's first reading is taken. Rabbi Kushner tells of an interesting Jewish tradition that when the sages met centuries ago to decide which books would be in the Bible and which books would be left out, there was tremendous debate over the book of Ecclesiastes. Some found the book to be too depressing. It was too cynical, too pessimistic about life, as the writer goes on with all of his frustrations of chasing after life and never finding it, all the ways he tried to be successful and never making it. And as the years went by, he went down one road after another, and they were all one dead end after another. And then he began to realize that the days of his life were quickly passing by. And he chafes under the lamentation that the life he has been living is nothing but a vapor, psst, that fizzles away. Those sages that decided which books would be included and which would be left out, eventually saw tremendous wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes, because the preacher, as the writer is sometimes known, seems to be warning us Do not waste our life and our time as he did, chasing after the illusion that wealth and knowledge and success and pleasure will give our lives their worth and their meaning. I would be interested in knowing if Jesus had been reading his morning devotion from the book of Ecclesiastes on the day he told the parable of the rich fool. Because the point seems to be so very much the same. Jesus is giving us something of a warning about our one and only life on this planet and how it is that we should live it. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, said Jesus. He's warning us because we don't always get it right. We get mixed up trying to figure out what is important and what is not, and how it is that we should live. The 20th century Catholic writer and mystic Thomas Merton wrote in his journal that the most important thing in life is to turn to God each and every day, to prefer God's will to our own, God's mystery to those things that we hold in our possession. You and I know that in our fast-paced and modern world, it's so easy to become anxious and troubled about many things, to become focused on what we have and what we do not have, to feel proud of what is ours and wanting more. But then we come to ourselves and we remember Jesus and the parable about the rich fool. We remember that the days of our lives are only so many, and we realize that we do not want to be like the preacher in Ecclesiastes or the fool in Jesus' parable. Instead, we remember that Jesus came in order that we might have life and have it abundantly. And we want to remember that the most wonderful thing about us is our baptism into Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, that we are daughters and sons of God and heirs to all the riches of God. We want to remember that the true riches are gifts that we receive from God and God alone. Forgiveness and hope and faith, a love that never ends, a life that is eternal. And we want to remember that life becomes even more blessed not as we store the gifts of God and keep them for ourselves, but as we share them with others in expressions of generosity and gratitude and loving service. It's nearly 20 years since the death of Mother Teresa, the Austrian-born nun who worked tirelessly among the poor and the hungry and the homeless and the dying on the streets of Calcutta. After her death, they found in her tiny room all of her earthly possessions, two pair of eyeglasses, a Bible, a rosary, a crucifix, some letters, her nun's robe, two pair of well-worn sandals, and a wooden bowl. Not a lot of stuff. And yet, everywhere she went, people seemed to want to kiss her shadow as she passed by. And on a visit to America, Boston, I think, people lined the streets to cheer her on, as if to say that her life was a reminder of what life is meant to be. One's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions, said Jesus. Jesus looks at life and sees it so much differently than we sometimes see it. Amen.